Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. Hi, this is Dr. Dreama, and I am back. Yes, I did take a big fall, and oh my God, I'm so glad that you can't actually see me, because if you did, you would think, that poor thing, is she ever going to see again? Whew, I'm glad that's over, and I am so impressed by how bodies heal. That's amazing. What's also amazing is my next guest. I think you are really going to enjoy listening to her. It's Vanessa Talbot. She is a profile builder, a success guide, an author, a coach mentor, and an animal nature lover. Welcome, Vanessa. So glad you're here.
Thank you, Dreama. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is so wonderful. And you know what's amazing is I'm here in France and you're in Australia and we're still able to talk. I find that fascinating.
The modern life, it's fabulous, isn't it? Like so many people we meet now all over the world that we probably would never have met before.
Exactly. I'm just stunned by technology sometimes. Speaking of technology, you are a person who is just all over the place. I mean, your profile, I see everywhere. So I want to find out more about your journey. How did you get to be this profile builder and success guide and author, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, if I'm a profile builder for coaches, I've got to make sure I've got my profile out and about too.
That's true.
And it's really funny because I'm actually really, really shy, so and quite the introvert. So people are often shocked when they actually meet me and find out in a room that I'm the one sitting, you know, at the back of the room. People think, oh, because, you know, you're out there that you must be an extrovert, but that's not the case.
Wow, that is really encouraging for other people who may be more introverted like you to know that they can be out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter. You know, introverted people just do it differently. That's all.
So tell me a little bit about your journey. How did you get to the place where you are now?
So how I got from there to here. Originally, when I was married, I was in the mining industry. So I came from, you know, outback mining camps in Western Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, out there in the dust on the mining camps, you know, three women and 50 men in one camp. I came from that background because my husband and I ran a company in the mining industry.
Oh.
And the mining industry is one of those places where you can make a lot of money quite quickly. And being the owners of the company that we started, of course, we made a lot of money very quickly. I only worked about in the beginning there about three afternoons a week and spent most of my time doing wildlife caring.
Oh, wow.
He worked about 1 week a month. So 1 week going on site somewhere. And then, you know, the rest of the month was off. And yet still we were raking in, you know, a lot of money, millions. It was a multi-million dollar company. When we got divorced, I just walked. So he took all the company and everything else. And so I walked out. What I kept was my country property because I was very, you know, as you announced at the beginning, I'm very passionate about wildlife and nature. So I wanted to keep this property that I had built. So that's what I got, but no income to go with it.
Oh, so you went from making millions to having a lovely property, but no income?
No income. So, you know, we were used to earning lots of money, and this property being a horse property and also the wildlife caring that I do, we don't get funded or it's not a charity or anything like that. So, you know, I fund all the wildlife caring myself. That's medical bills for the animals when they come in and, you know, their food and shelter and all the rest of it. So I had all that and no income. So I was faced with the question about, I need to make money, but I also want to stay home. I didn't want to trade my lifestyle. I'm very much that country lifestyle girl. And at the time, my options seemed to be, because I don't live in town, I do live out on a rural property out in the country, was I would have to travel daily into town and to get a 9-to-5 job. And that I just was not going to do that at all. Just was not on the agenda. And so I had to find a way to work it from home, because if I did that working 9-to-5, I couldn't be at home with my horses. My daughter was only little. She was like 4 or 5. And I didn't want to do that with her so little. Plus, I wouldn't have been there to look after my animals either.
Right.
And I think fate just kind of happened, because I was thinking things like, you know, things that were lovely but weren't going to make me a lot of money. Things like doing Reiki and, you know, herbal for horses and stuff like that, which was all my passion, but weren't going to make me the money I was used to and that I needed. But sitting there reading a holistic magazine, and there was an ad in there for life coaching.
Oh, wow.
Had no idea what a life coach was.
Right. But can I do it from home? That's the question.
That was it. I can do this from home, right? Yes, right. Well, then I'm in. And yeah, signed up to one of our biggest coach training institutions here in Australia, did the intake weekend, and thought this will be my ticket to being able to stay home but still make money.
Oh, that's fabulous. And it happened by chance.
Yeah, I didn't know what a life coach was. I had no idea. I just thought that sounds like something that I could do. From a description, you know, people always, I did tarot card reading and that as well. So, you know, I'm used to people coming to me for help. Mm. So the idea of actually tagging coach onto it rather than tarot reader was kind of appealing for doing not the same thing, but at the time I thought it was going to be a similar thing.
But, you know, you're also talking, Vanessa, about a situation that I think a lot of women have experienced, where they're together with a partner or a husband, something happens, and then their circumstances change drastically. So you're going from a multi-million dollar company to trying to figure out what's important to me is I need to be home with my daughter and with my animals, and I have to find a way to make it happen. And you have. So yes. When you became a life coach, what happened?
A lot of the first couple of years with very few clients, so still no money. But we struggled along. You know, you have to get into this place of knowing what your bigger vision is. And, you know, I had a bigger vision that, I was going to succeed at this. And I had no backup plan. Do you know what I mean? Like going into town and working for someone else wasn't an option. So I had to make this new direction work. Interesting enough, that particular intake weekend and most of those intake weekends for the new coaches that come through, only a very, very small percentage, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 of the participants are actually able to make their coaching businesses into a profitable business that enables them to have a good lifestyle and income. So knowing those stats, I knew that I was going to be one of those ones.
So you sort of developed the mindset that this was the way it was going to be. I will be one of those people.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think it's important to not have a backup plan? Because, you know, a lot of times people will talk about, well, I'll do this, but if that doesn't work, I can always do this.
Yeah. I actually say to my coaches, if you want to make this work, because, you know, I now mentor other coaches into building their successful coaching businesses and getting their profiles out there. That's the work I do now. But I tell them, if you've got a backup plan, it's probably not going to work. You need to have absolute commitment to this journey that you're on and that it's going to happen and you're going to make it happen. Because if you've got a backup plan, that's an excuse for getting out when things don't work out right. So I could have got out in those first 2 years where, yeah, I was getting clients, but, you know, I wasn't making many clients. There wasn't a lot of income and I was struggling all the time. I had to sell some stuff, you know, to keep bringing money in to keep my property. I could have given up and said, this is too hard. I'm going to go and, you know, because with my background and my ability with running the company, I could have easily gone and got an extremely well-paying job.
Right.
Very easily.
So did you ever hit a wall where you had those moments where you thought, maybe this isn't what I should be doing?
No. No, I hit the wall where I thought, you know, God, this is hard. This is harder than I thought it was going to be. But there was no wall I ever hit where I thought maybe I should give up and go and, you know, just go and work for someone else. I'll get paid stacks.
I love that you had this commitment sort of early on that this is the way it's going to be. And I think that speaks to something that a lot of people don't always understand when it comes to being like an entrepreneur or a life coach, is having that mindset of, nope, this is the way it's going to be. Some days are going to be a struggle, but that doesn't mean I quit. It means I just keep going.
Yeah, exactly right. There's that, you know, you always see that little drawing that people do of the entrepreneur's journey, and it's either all squiggles or else it's up and down in peaks and valleys. But still we go on, do you know what I mean? We still go on. We get the highs and then we're down in the valley again, and then we're up on the – it was very much like that. And to some degree there is still a sense of that as well, but obviously it's a lot more even keeled out now.
Right, right. And there's also, you may have seen this as well, there's a cartoon that says what people see, and they see the success, and what they don't see is all of the stuff underneath the water. The squiggles, yeah. You know, the time where you thought you were going to drown, the time that you had to do this, the time you had to sell stuff in order to make it. It really is a fantastic journey.
Yeah. Well, there were things I thought of selling, you know, like, you know, Gucci handbags and stuff that were part of my lifestyle before, and I was sitting there looking at them, you know, and Christian Dior shoes and all the rest of them, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars of that sort of stuff. And I look at it and go, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
They'll go. You know, and you go back to bare basics. But I was happy because I was still at home with my daughter. I was at home with my animals, and that was what was most important to me.
Which is so wonderful when we can keep what's most important right there in front of us.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I think you've got to hang on to that. You've got to hang on to what's most important to you. And then you'll find a way to make it work. And, you know, I found ways to make it work. Like I would be working on my property all day and fixing fences and stuff like that, because I no longer had the staff. So I'd do all that stuff. And then my daughter, you know, when she went to bed at 8 o'clock at night, I would then work on my business, my coaching business, and coach clients and market and train from 8 till midnight, sometimes 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. And that sounds like it's so different than when you and your husband were running the thing around the mines.
Yeah, very different.
How did you spend your time before? Because you said you only worked like 3 afternoons a week.
Oh, animals, with animals. I was and still am a volunteer wildlife carer of Australian Native Wildlife. So neighbours and people bring me, if they find an orphaned Joey, which is a baby kangaroo, you know, that this mother's been killed, I would get it and raise it to release it back in the wild. Heaps of native birds. That's where all my time would go, and it's still a lot of my time still goes there. It's my passion.
That's wonderful. But did you wear those Christian Dior shoes when you were doing that?
No. I've always been around my house and around the horses, a bit of a tracky pant girl. So that's why I've just thought, I don't need these shoes and these bags, and that's why they all went. And, you know, stick them on eBay and get some money for them.
Exactly, exactly. So I have seen some pictures of you online with you currently. Do you have a little Joey, a little kangaroo right now?
Yeah, I do. She's not so little now, actually. We've had her for 12 months, but when she came in, she was only just getting her fur, so she was only about 5 months old, still needed to be fully swathed, you know, fully kept warm. It was the middle of winter, and here in Orange is very different than the rest of Australia. Most people think Australia is all, you know, sun and beaches and heat, but we are actually in a very cold climate where it actually snows just in the area I am. So she had to sleep in bed with us to even keep her warm during the night, because they need constant warmth because they're in pouches on their mother.
Right.
So it's that amount of caring that you've got to give to some of these animals when they come in as orphans. This is not something that you can just drop them and feed them like you might do your cat. You know, oh, I can come home from work and then sit down on the couch with my pussycat. You've got to be with these animals, especially the injured and then the orphaned ones that come in, pretty much 24/7. So it's one of the reasons why having a job was not an option, that I couldn't have a job at home here.
Right, right. Because you have a full-time job. I mean, raising a child is a full-time job, but taking in these orphaned or injured animals, I mean, oh my goodness, that's a whole other job on top of everything else you're doing.
Yeah, so you get used to balancing your time out and also making the most, like, little orphan needs their feed, you know, some of them every couple of hours, so that you work like crazy in the hours that they don't need attention.
Oh, wow. Kind of like children, you know.
it's exactly the same when I hear, you know, when you've got a baby, you know, and you just go, oh, they're sleeping, I better run off and quickly get some work or the washing done. It's the same as that with these little ones.
That's amazing. So on this journey, how long have you been doing the life coaching now?
I'd be going up for 6 years now.
Okay. Is there anything that you wish that you had known when you started this journey that you know now?
Around life coaching or just around the transition?
Around the transition.
Yeah, around transition. I probably would have been smarter and not just walked. Knowing what I know now.
Right.
But I was so, you know, I've made millions of dollars. I can do this again quickly. But, you know, not really realizing that the mining industry, which is very easy to make money, is a little bit different than the life coaching industry. Yes, we can make great money in the coaching industry, don't get me wrong. But it's not quite the same as the mining industry in terms of easy money.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would have been a little bit smarter financially.
I would have been a little bit smarter financially and not just said, I'm just walking out of this. I probably would have worked a few things out.
Yeah. Sometimes getting out is all we can think about, right?
Yeah. And you know, for some women, that is the case. You just need to get out and do your own thing.
Right.
And I had a touch of that, or a lot of that going on. And, you know, and also I'm not a conflict person. So it was easier for me to avoid the conflict and just not ask for anything and just go, rather than going through the whole conflict of journey of court and all the rest of it and trying to get through that.
Right, right. So given that you are working at home, online, with these animals, do you have a dating life?
Oh, I have a partner. Yeah. So yeah, I do have a partner. I don't think I've ever really dated. I actually knew him before my marriage. So, we rekindled our friendship, which then turned into romance once I got divorced. But he used to be in the mining industry as well. So I knew him from back then. So I didn't have to go through the whole, you know, the dating thing again as such.
I'll bet a lot of people listening to this are really envious at the moment.
Look, to be honest, you know, I'm not sure I would have been able to do the whole dating thing because, you know, like I'm out here in the country. So, you know, it's not just 5 minutes down to the local cafe to have a date. So that wouldn't work so well. And plus I've got the animals and I really, really, and, you know, and a small daughter, I don't think the dating thing would have worked well for me anyway.
It would have been difficult, it sounds like. It sounds like you ran into a perfect situation for yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's all worked out wonderfully. I'm lucky about that, that's for sure.
Well, what do you have planned for the future?
For me now at this stage, because, you know, I've been working as the profile builder for coaches and putting a lot of other people into the spotlight, a lot less than I do myself. This particular year, I have found for myself personally, I've had a lot of overseas interest in people actually wanting me to come over to their events and speak and stuff like that. So for me, I think it's also about up-leveling myself now as much as I up-level my people. Before, I wasn't that interested in it, but I think that was because my introversion got in the way. So I think now, even though I'm still introversion, I've got to this point now that there's nothing else I have got to do now, because I've done everything else other than now to step up to the next level and leave the, not that we ever leave the introversion behind, but not use those as an excuse anymore and take advantage of all these wonderful opportunities that I used to say no to and actually take them up on it now and see where that leads to next.
That's wonderful. And you used a term, up-leveling, and some people listening may not be familiar with that term. So I'm wondering, would you mind explaining how you consider up-leveling?
So when you're at one level in your comfort zone, okay, so what you're used to, and then up-leveling is going up to, so stepping out of that comfort zone that you're in at the moment and then stepping up to what you may have been fearing, you know. So for me, traveling and speaking and that sort of stuff, there's a bit of, you know, that's not my comfort zone. You know, right. I'm a country girl hermit. So for me to up-level to that level, that takes some brave.
That's wonderful. And I think that you just said something that I talk about all of the time, which is getting out of your comfort zone. It's like you get into a place where, you know you can do it, you know you're good at it, and it's very familiar, but it's also very safe, right? And
yep,
so
exactly.
Pushing through to that next level really does push us out of our comfort zone, whether it's because we are introverts or because we've never done something before. But it's so essential in order to keep growing, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, if I'm just staying at the same level, and I see it with so many other people, you know, because I'm a coach, I see it. You know, there's no growth. People start to get bored as well. So you've always got to get past that fear. If you can get past that fear and just move, step out of the comfort zone and then just go for the next level. That's up leveling.
Right.
Life expansion. Do you know what I mean? I used to call it, when I had my book out, in the, which was one of the first projects that I did when I actually got into the coaching business, I talked about life expansion. And that's what I feel it is. Because a lot of people, you know, if we're just staying in our comfort zone, we'll keep our lives quite, you know, quite small, quite circular. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But then when we step out of our comfort zone, we start to expand, our life starts to expand, and we grow with that life expansion.
I love that expansion, because so much of what people do is contract, right? We get scared, we contract, we sort of make ourselves smaller as though we don't want to take up a lot of space in our own life.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for me, more than anything, it was just getting out of, and this is what I went through. I was in survival mode. You know, when you come from having a lot of money and suddenly you've got no money and you've got all these people, meaning not people, but all these animals, all these creatures, this whole property, this nature reserve I have, plus one little human as well, dependent on you. You're in survival mode, just trying to provide for them all.
Exactly.
So I had to work on getting out of that survival mode, and doing it without too much bitterness.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, how, you know, there I was there and now I'm down to here and this is hard and it's a struggle. And you have to look at it at the point that, well, I had to look at it at the point that I made this choice.
Right. And I think that is sort of the key that takes a lot of people some time to get to, unfortunately, is understanding that, yes, I was here and now I'm here. And I can either focus on how hard it is, how deprived I feel, or I can accept I have the power to make choices. I made that choice. I can make other choices.
Exactly right. And that's what I was really much about. You know, what I made that choice. I knew it was going to be tough. I didn't think it was going to be as tough as what it was. But, you know, it was about, well, what choices can I make to build this and make it better? And that's what I was very, very, very focused on the whole time.
That's wonderful. Now, you slipped in there writing a book. Whoa, tell me about that.
One of the first things I did as a brand new coach, because, you know, I had to find a way to beat the odds, you know, that those odds I told you at the beginning of the call about the success versus failure rate in the coaching intakes was not high. And I wanted to be one of those, you know, one, two or three that would make it. And I thought, how am I going to do this? How am I going to stand out? And getting clients to me locally wasn't an option because I didn't really have any local. I'm living here in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So I had to, you know, a lot of coaches will just go home and go back to their house or their local area and get local clients. I couldn't do that. And so I thought, I'm going to write a book and get that out there. And I decided to, I thought, you know, I wasn't well known enough and I didn't feel experienced enough to do the book just on my own, just have it a me book. So I made it one of those contribution books where I was the head of the project and I created the project and got some great people to contribute their own life stories to it and made sure that I got some people from overseas that then that gave me, started to get me an overseas audience. And that's where my first clients came from.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now tell me, had you ever wanted to write a book? Had you ever envisioned doing this?
Not particularly.
Great. So there you are, just stepping outside of your comfort zone again.
Yeah, it was just, how do I make this work? Oh, there's an option. I'll take that one.
There
really wasn't a lot of thought to it. It was just, that's an option. I'm going to take that one.
I love how you seem to see opportunity everywhere. Like a lot of people will look around and they'll be like, oh, can't do that, don't have any experience. You know, they stop themselves over and over again. But what I'm hearing from you is you're like, okay, what can I do here? What's my option? And then you just go for it.
Yeah, and that probably comes from, you know, I come from a farming background. I grew up, you know, my parents are farmers. And so they're like your typical Aussie battlers, you know, but they were never down in the dumps or an invictive mentality. It was always, you know, how do we make the best of this? Where do we get our opportunity from? So it probably stems from that childhood.
Uh-huh. Which is, you know, some people are fortunate to grow up with that sort of opportunity mindset and other people not so much. They really have to work on changing that mindset and understanding, no, I can do anything I choose to do.
Yeah, but you know, even when you grow up with that opportunity mindset, you know, a few setbacks can make you start to doubt that as well. So you have to be constantly focused, no matter how you grew up. You do have to be constantly focused on looking for those opportunities, keeping your right, you know, the right mindset around you. I feel that anyway. Like it's not like it's super easy for us just because we grew up with that, but I would say it certainly gives us a head start.
That's wonderful. So Vanessa, what's one piece of advice for somebody who's listening, who's on the cusp of a big change in their life? What's one piece of advice that you would give them?
I'd actually say choose to be extraordinary rather than ordinary. That was one thing I focused on. So rather than living an ordinary life, I always wanted my life to be extraordinary, but it didn't matter if other people didn't think it was extraordinary. It's only as long as I thought it was extraordinary. So you will know deep inside you if you are actually living or transitioning towards what you view or know is going to be extraordinary for you.
I really like the way that you put that because it's really us who has to define what's extraordinary for me. Other people can't do that for us.
No, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are very, very, very focused on what other people think or what other people have got to say, when really the one person you should be concentrating on up front and first is yourself and your needs and what you want for your life. And a lot of people say to me, you know, how did you do it? But if you look at what I did, I just focused completely on what I want for my life, and that was to live on my country property, do my animal work. And that's what I focused on. It's what I want. It's not everyone's ideal. It's not, for example, my ex-husband's ideal is, you know, his life is completely different now. But I wanted to stay in what I consider to be my perfect life, and therefore I had to find the way to make that happen.
And you did. You have created a life that you love, and I'm just in awe of that. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you can say, yes, I love my life, you know you're in that great spot.
Yes, exactly. And not be getting focused on things that you don't have, because as you said, you have what you need there. Everything that you love is right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not traveling the world like I used to. I'm not buying Gucci handbags. I'm not, you know, doing all that now. The income that I make now goes more towards this wildlife sanctuary. I don't feel I'm missing out.
Right, right. So, Vanessa, for anybody who is listening, if they want to find out more about what you do and who you are, where do we send them?
If anyone wants to just pop along, I mean, everyone can find me on Facebook, but also if you want to pop along to my website, it's vanessatalbot.com.
Wonderful. And you also have a couple of Facebook groups, right?
I have one Facebook group. It's Coaches, Experts and Changemakers Step into the Spotlight. And it's really positioned for people who are out there with a big vision, you know, and want to step into the spotlight, the new movers and shakers. It's very much for those people. So great place for coaches and anyone who has a voice that they want to have heard to change the world in some way. It's a great place for them.
Wonderful. Vanessa, thank you so much for being on here today. I really appreciate it. And I know that there are going to be some people that your message just really resonates with, because it's a fabulous story of transformation and deciding to be extraordinary.
Thank you so much. Honored.
Absolutely. So this is Dr. Dreema, and we have been talking with Vanessa Talbot and change makers, coaches, experts, anybody who wants to be in the spotlight. If you've got a message, then look her up. Thank you so much, and we'll be talking soon.